Unlabeled Leadership is a volunteer service. We appreciate our guests for their stewardship and remarkable stories. We also appreciate listeners like you who back the show with star reviews and contributions.
Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 157, Janet Dell on Facing Your Fears and Resilience. Here's a shout out to listeners in Mazovia, Poland, and in the United States, Powder Springs, Georgia, Bradenton Beach, Florida, Dublin, California, Gary, Indiana, and Troy, Michigan. With that, let's get started. Janet is the president of the Freeman Company. She's a dynamic and empathetic leader who develops opportunities for Freeman, its customers, and its people. She succeeds by putting people first. Janet encourages her team to embrace change through constant communication, continuous learning, pragmatic thinking, and tenacity. Janet has been recognized as a woman to watch by Business Insurance Magazine and has received several awards for product technology innovation. Part 1, Facing Your Fears, Pivoting, and Strengthening Your Resilience. I write extensively about 9 practices of 21st century leadership. One of the practices, communicating like agents, is about influencing motivation. David Markey describes this as giving clarity, and Simon Sinek, he describes it as giving the why, the purpose. In this story, Janet shares what a mentor said to her that gave her clarity to overcome some challenges. Here's Janet with her story.
Early in my career, I was juggling a lot of different things and I was struggling and had fears of failing. And, you know, whether it was my personal life or my work life, I spoke to a mentor that I trust and he made the comment to me, every leader makes mistakes. It's really just how you pivot that matters. Don't let that hold you back, that fear of failure, because there's nobody with this perfect record. And it kind of calmed down my concerns about pursuing different job opportunities that were well out of my comfort zone. The same mentor went on to say, you have to think about these different experiences that you're going to have. And sometimes you will have to go down to go up in your career and even in life. For me, I really took that to heart in my personal life and how I viewed things that would come up, because you inevitably face setbacks and hard times or challenges. And it helped put it in perspective. And I did think I can work through these problems and anyone can pivot. So it really did help give me a mindset where I can overcome the challenges that are in front of me.
You just really captured some really important concepts that a lot of people knew, especially if they're new to being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Or even an author or someone in the entertainment field. The first of the two that I heard that was so important is that you're going to have ups and downs, or you're going to have downs and ups. People don't realize or may not realize that if you're going out on your own, you could get to the point where you have no income, you are really struggling, you don't know how you're going to pay your next month's rent, if you have rent, but things could really pick up. You make the second point about pivoting. We could suffer, we could wallow, we could struggle with what we're going through. At some point, you have to stop and say, what can I do now? I think that's a critical point.
Yes, it's really true, because you will hit a lot of roadblocks in your life, no matter what you do. So I think it's important.
Even if you're a career person in a corporation, it's going to happen. Things are not going to go as well as you think. I'm sure you, like everyone, a lot of other people have had those down moments, but the resilience, which is the pivoting, you can decrease the amount of time that you're reacting to whatever happened. Just mentally know that, okay, I'm going to allow myself to be affected by this or to be sad or hurt.
Yes.
But at some point, I need to do something about it and I need to stand up. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, my parents are big on that, where you can take the night and mourn it or be angry or whatever, and then tomorrow you start again, which is so important, because we're all going through challenges, whether you're a parent or you're working in a career or what have you. And you know you're going to get through it. I always draw on the ones that I have been through. I'm like, you know, I thought that was the worst situation, but because I know I got through that, I was able to move forward. It all matters a lot in terms of resilience, absolutely.
Part two, courage of a CEO. In addition to the 9 practices, I also write about 7 leadership principles. One of the principles, connect with others, is illustrated in unique ways and, quite honestly, nicely by the guest on the show. In this story, Janet talks about how a new CEO connected with her and the thousands of other employees at this company. Here's Janet to explain.
I spent a long part of my career with Marsh McLennan, and I had joined the company right after 9/11. It wasn't too long after that that Elliott Spitzer had filed a suit where the company was charged with bid rigging. That was later settled, but there was a significant destabilization of the organization. The board went out and found a new CEO, Brian Duperreault, and he came in and the stock price was plummeting and talent was leaving. And there's just a lot of concern about the future of this major market leader. And he held this conference call for all 45,000 employees around the world. He just cut straight through to the front line of the business. He spoke openly of his faith and that he felt called to be there in that moment. I remember him being kind of emotional, and I was like 26 at the time. And then he talked about servant leadership and that we were good firm and we were going to come back, and the mistakes of few wasn't going to be the last chapter in the story of an over 150-year-old company. Brian's background is he'd been raised by the single mom, and he was definitely an ally of women and had worked really hard to bring women up and develop them in the industry. So that also helped. But I really thought, wow, the importance of communication. And it's so hard when you manage lots of people. You always wonder, is my message cascading down? Am I being understood? And I thought he just nailed it by just going direct and speaking from the heart. And he was so authentic throughout. And then he went on to introduce the greater good, and which really promoted servant leadership and thinking about the greater good that helped Marsh rebound and, of course, do even better today. He was incredibly influential, that experience for me. And I've thought about it, the importance of values and being honest and transparent and just the responsibility of leadership.
One of the principles that I write about in my books is they're all simple principles. And I think a lot of people write about similar ones, or they, you know, think of a pie, they slice the pie differently. So they use different names. But this one is so crucial. It's one of the most important ones that keeps coming up on this podcast, and that is connect with others. It sounds simple.
Yeah.
What you just described with Brian is that he shared his views on religion, his views on leadership, servant leadership, and he talked about how he grew up, how he was raised. And all of that is an incredible way of showing vulnerability.
Yes.
It's a way that people can relate to him in a way they may not have done before that call.
Absolutely. You know, you wanted to be part of that solution and that picture he was painting around where we could take it. He's a great guy.
Just from having that call, people may have worked a little differently as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in this last couple of years, I've thought about that just because we've had to work in this, everyone being sheltered in and then even now hybrid communities. And it's really hard for people to connect now. There is the face-to-face connection is so important, but I thought he understood the medium in terms of how can you still connect even when you're far apart or distributed and touch so many people and get them going and focused in the right direction.
I've been talking with people about the pandemic and having to handle remote work. And it was interesting. It's very early on in the series. One of the guests said, look, I discovered something. This is someone at the C-suite who said, if I just spend a couple of minutes and asking how the other person is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a revelation for this person. It makes all the difference in the world.
Yes.
You know, you have children and you're having to work from home. How are you doing? How is that going? Are you okay? Are your children okay? It really helps relieve some of the anxiety. It's just another way of connecting.
Absolutely. I agree.
Part 3, write it down. In this part, I ask guests to explain and give their advice on how we can be more effective at leading or what we can do to help others lead more effectively. Janet shares some advice that has helped her throughout her career. Again, here's Janet.
Kind of similar to the fear of failure, or when you're coaching someone who's struggling or you're struggling. I had a coach who talked to me about when you are coming up against a problem where you're concerned you may not be able to overcome it, you should write down everything that could go wrong. And I talked to salespeople about, like, write down all the objections that you could expect from this meeting. And they'll write out every fear that they have. Then I say, all right, now I want you to write down what you think the mitigation is or what the response should be to each of these things. And I found for myself and for others, that's really helped people calm down and better manage the problem, whatever it is. Even with my children, I think about it in parenting. And then I can find a way for it and it doesn't seem so overwhelming.
When you see it on paper, that would make a difference and just kind of take abstract fears and concerns and make them more concrete so that it could be more manageable.
Absolutely. And it always is. You can build things up in your mind, but when you put it down on paper and then you think through it, and then you can seek advice if you're struggling in any one area. But generally, I find that really helps in difficult problem solving.
My thanks to Janet Dell. And if you'd like to learn more about Janet, go to the show notes. I'd like to thank you for listening. This is Gary DePaul. Until next time, lead on.